I've been out of prison 3 years. Also, we've seen alcohol, parties, violence, great parenting. Was just normal. Blood, seen murders in front of my eyes. There's a time when people had enough and they want to go home to their families. You stole off that, you take it off that, you robbed off that. I'm sick of that lifestyle, bro. I had enough. And it tells you, it always catches up on you. That what you do in life, it catches up.
Young soldier of God. Steady march.
Yeah, my name is Tyrell Kanaka, known as TK. I'm born and bred from Manurewa, South Auckland, New Zealand. So I'm currently today, I'm employed with BBM. Dave Letelli Jr., he's given me an opportunity. As you can see, is the change. It's a safe place to go to, and being around a positive environment, it's a healing, and just being around loving people. I've been out of prison the longest today. I've been out of prison 3 years. I've been out of the court system. Haven't been near the courts, haven't been near the probation. That's all cleaned up. Yeah, I just had enough of the getting locked up. That lifestyle. It's God's calling. He says he has a plan for us. And it's in his timing. And I'm guessing it's his timing now.
Well, how has the last 3 years been, bro, since you've been out?
It was a roller coaster, really. It was a battle. It was a battle. It was a battlefield. I've been locked up for a long time. It's just, I don't know. I was trying to find a way, where to start in my life. It wasn't an easy road once you were released from prison after you've been incarcerated for a long term in maximum security. You just don't know where to start. Born and bred Manurewa, a place called Clinton Park, 1980. People know it's known as Real Hard, the stomping hood of the south side. All my upbringing was there. Yeah, born and bred, pretty much know everyone. Rewa, yeah, so, it was good, really. Everyone was a sporting environment around rugby league. The Marlins, Manurewa Marlins, where the whole community was all about sporting. Yeah, we've seen alcohol, parties, violence, and just we just followed along with it, followed what the hood wanted to get up to. It was like let unleash, really. No parenting. We just did our own thing when we were kids. Just run away from home.
What did your parents do for a living, bro? Do you mind?
My dad was a tribesman, patch member, Otara. My parents grew up in Otara. They moved from Otara to get away from the parties and the lifestyle of what gets down in South Auckland, drugs and alcohol, the behavior of people. I believe that it's almost just normal, what we see, what we saw. It's just a normal activities. What we hear from other towns, and they say that Manurewa was, New Zealand, they say Manurewa was one of the worst communities in New Zealand. With population, with the crime rate, and the laws. But we didn't look at the side of that. We just look what's in the now, what's in front of us, and the behavior that goes towards it as well.
How was school for you, bro? How was like primary school? What primary school did you go to?
I went to Roscommon Primary, Manukau B, just in Clendon, Roscommon. Yeah, through my primary, I wasn't quite intelligent. I wasn't really bright in my schoolwork and stuff. Yeah, I was struggling with my schoolwork and stuff. I went to Weymouth Intermediate as well. From there, my dad passed away.
How old were you then?
I was 12 years old. 12. Left at home with my baby brother. He's a senior member of the New Zealand Mighty Mongol of New Zealand. He was my uncle Willie's right hand. Yeah, at that time, me and my baby brother was at home with my mum. I think we had their father program around us at that time. My mum was struggling to control me and my brother. So she did it tough. It was just a hard journey at that age. At that time, my parents was the Mongol Mormon, Willie and Roy. They were the two chiefs of the Chain Dogs. They're the founders. And that's my family. Why I look up at them is because they were there for us, fed us, clothed us, and just we went along with them. But it didn't mean that they didn't ask to join them. We just fell into it. We slipped into it because it's all my family, like blood family. Yeah, I went to high school, I went to Papagrill High. I had to move away from my mum's because my mum ended up going with my dad's cousin. He was the notorious president of the Hamilton chapter. And I didn't know I'd get along with him, so I went to stay with my dad's parents. Yes, I was into sports. Rugby in Papagrill High was a rugby school. And I played league. I was in the Warriors, Auckland. I was in the Auckland Warriors development under 19s in 1995. So I made New Zealand. Schoolboy Kiwis, junior Kiwis. Made New Zealand Maldives. I was overseas and I played in Australia with New Zealand Maldives, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So you did good with the sports.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Good with the sports as well, yeah.
So did that keep you out of trouble at all? Or was it sort of, you know, go play and then come back to the hood and then was it, or did it sort of keep you out of trouble?
Oh, yeah, I was looking for trouble. I was just like playing the league and then I come back from overseas and I'm back into the deep again. As I had the mobs around me. I have my tracksuit on, my lead tracksuit on, and around me, I have surrounding me, I have all the top chiefs all around me, you know, and I don't look at them as chiefs, I look at them as my family members, as we all one family. I was going to a league game, a league training, and they gave me a right to training. And I see is my family fighting. They must be doing must be staying near a tinny shop. And I had no choice to get in there. You know, and I'm like, shut up, I'm not gonna watch my family get beaten up, outnumbered. Well, you know, so I was out there. I've got to be out there and help my family, you know. So it's just born into what my family does. Yeah, the drug abuse, I don't smoke weed, I don't smoke cigarettes. Yeah, it was just the pee. It took a toll of me. So I started smoking pee.
What sort of led to that?
I think it was just wanted to fit in, really. Yeah, it got really, really, really heavy. My behaviour started to change.
Did you have any children by this point?
Yeah, I did. I had two sons at the time.
How was that for you, bro? You know, when your first son was born.
I was confused, so young. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't in the right state of mind. I was just all I did was hang with the dogs, you know, hang with the chain dogs, more my family. I was abusing my partner a lot. Because of the behaviour, what it does to you, what the substance does to you, that behaviour came out of hand. So I ended up having my first charge, my first attendance at Mount Eden Prison, due to male assault female. Ongoing backwards and forwards out in and out of prison.
How old were for you, man? Like first going inside to Mount Eden.
Yeah, well, my surname and we have another karaka here that asked me, "What is this karaka to you?" You know, he's asked my brother. All right, do you want to go to his unit? So, I don't mind. I'll go anywhere. So, okay, as we're going to the unit. Man, when I was like, you know, but I was like, shucks, there were all different game members in this whole unit. And I already knew the whole unit through around here, like South Auckland. You're like, oh, yeah, we're all like all in one unit. But when I got in there, everyone started laughing because I was laughing. They were like giving me hugs and just from all different gangs and they were laughing. Why is because I'm like, like a superstar league player. And damn, we are one place of all you, we see you in here. Yeah, but the question is, it was the unit that I was in. But they said, man, they put you straight in the jungle unit where we got lions and tigers and you name it. And I'm just right in the deep of it. You know? We're sitting out here from there, bro. It's just... The violence was getting heavier. I abused my partner. Yeah, besides, you know, my love, I was sharing her, it was the wrong kind of love. Abusing, maybe because I wanted to be the whole. But that's what I saw, really. I believe now that what I saw of my dad to my mum was a normal behavior. So I continued that legacy. I think it was just their habit, that's what the meth does to you. The lying and all the bad stuff that just comes, I believe that's the devil, you know, the devil's world. GBH, and then also while I was inside for GBH and that, two GBHs, on remand, I get called in for, interview by CIB asking about where was I related into a home invasion. Put me to Mount Eden, and then I got caught up in I started a riot, gang riot of the Mong Mob Killer Bees and KCs against the Screws. So we had a big mess of form of living off mattresses, pool tables, the whole unit was on fire the whole night, on rage, non-stop. Yeah, after the riot, went out all night to the following morning. So I said, eleven of us got sent up to Perry. 10 walked out easy. I had a heart. I got assaulted really badly from the groom squad. I could, get a lot of delta on the screws. And from there, they sent me up to Maxi, Super Maxi, and I was placed in B block. That's where I landed. I landed on B block. We were the bottom landing, which was the remand, and at the top landing was a sentence, B block. Later on, I got filled in from the KCs, from the chief, Dave 74. He looked after me up there, and everybody else all looked after me because, you know, as I'm a loner by myself at the time. And I was looked after from all the gang members, so they knew where my journey was, you know. I was a league player.
So how was your time, bro? How did it go for you?
Up Maxi? It was good. It was good. It was good and bad, really. What I'm saying was good is because I it's funny that there was not much. I did not fall into much trouble. Only in just when other crews were. Other gangs were mainly the Bloods and the Crips were really. The Island Boys were having their doubts and fights, and I was a cleaner at the time up in Maxi, so I had to clean up the mess, you know. Blood, seeing murders in front of my eyes happen, and I even tried to save, you know. Saving the couple of the fellas, you know, and I'm getting hit over the head as well by accident, you know, but they're trying to pull me off. But no, I just want to all stop. But I saw a lot of what was going on up there. Yep. I think this big leg I just finished doing. I thought I lost my family. It's just what, you know, that's it. I lost my family, you know, because I'm getting away for a long time. I was struggling. I ended up starting getting into mental health. I'm not in the right headspace, missing my family, my children. I ended up blocking everyone out for 3 years. But it's quite a long time. That's a long time, then. I ended up putting my kids' photos away. I could not see photos. I just needed to stride it out, you know, day by day. And just get stronger. I wanted to find something different. I ended up going to church service. And there was four of us at a time. As it was a maxi security, so they take four at a time. They couldn't take the numbers because this way the murder gets to take place from bringing so many numbers out. Yeah, so they just break them in fours. So I went to church in there, and because I saw the changes in the other boys, you know, shush, man, I always get, man, you should be a bad fella. Why come you not? How have we not been? Why are you so different for? And then you should be, this was you here. You're the monster smashing up people, and you know. You're playing league with us, and you're just on. But his whole life, his whole talk, everything was started changing, you know. From there, not long after, everyone's all moved on from there, started from their church. Nearly that, they moved away from the unit. Moving, you know, gone on the journey. How come they go to another prison? That's because, so later on, the screws are getting them because they want to make a change. People had enough. There's a time when people had enough and they want to go home to their families. And they asked me, Christian, because I felt something in my heart where, I was missing my family, and what do I need to do to get to my family? And I think for starters, we needed to move you away from this unit, from up there, because, you know, being around in the environment, all the gangsters, you know, you're not going to move forward. You're gonna be in that environment, and you're gonna either be dead or alive, really, or do a longer jail sentence, because you can easily catch another charge. And then, so I chose to put my hand up to go to another prison, which was Rimutaka, to do a program. And from there, I did the program, and then came back to Maxi. And after the program, my whole behavior, my mentality, everything started to was all changed, because the boys were just saying, you changed here? Something about you is going different. I said, yeah, I just want to do something different with my life. Yeah, because I've seen enough, I saw enough abuse, you know, of the environment. I seen people getting, you know, I don't want to explain it, but I've seen, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, especially with Mongolia and all that, you know, all the Holy Roy and, you know, PC, and he was the godfather with the Mongol mob up here in Auckland. Nigga John, and just he'd been around in that environment, you know. From there, it comes down to us. We're the next generation from them. Yeah, and that generation today, I'm the one that is shining the light right now, and hopefully I can draw them in, come in the follow the same direction as me. The day I was getting out, I was up by 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning, and the gates don't, the release gates don't open until about 10 o'clock. But as I was getting up, when I got out, I didn't know where, I was just saying to myself, what am I going to do my life? What am I going to do? Am I gonna go back to it, or do I wanna lead this path and go do this? Yeah, go to church and stuff like that. So I believe that if you go to church, you're gonna get a better life. You gotta know a lot about God. So I follow this chapter called John 3:16. You know, the man, you know, he's given his only son to help others, you know. I believe in him. I've been baptized. I put my baby hands up. But it's just like, you know, when you make that new change and you want stuff in it, you can't get it. You won't get it straight away, because I believe it. I want this and that. If I change, I want to get this and that. It doesn't happen straight away. It takes time. So it's called a process. So right now, I'm in the process of my road from the day I got released. During the process, I fell into a bit of a dark spot that was caught up with me, which means I was in a dark place, maximum security. What I saw up there is what I brought out and did it to myself. But I was a little bit under pressure in myself, not reaching out for help or talking to someone. So I went away from it, and I was found by my family members and a couple of the Mongol members.
Can you talk about what actually happened?
Yeah, I was going through a bit of a struggle with parenting in myself as a father.
You attempted suicide, was it, brother?
Yeah, it was a full proper one, yeah. It was a full proper one. So it was a miracle, really, these ones were going eating. And they see me at the tree down by the river.
Wow.
They're just like, oh, something was underneath the tree. And they went to have a look at it, and they saw me. My eye was popped out. And then, my little brother, you know, he's like one of the head of the senior members of our club, you know, at the time when I was with them. I told him to see what he saw, his own brother, you know, his own flesh and blood. They did anything to get me down, and so they went to restrain me, went to resuscitate me, to CPR me for 14 minutes. So it was a miracle, because no one could bring me back, and my brother had to, it was hurting, they were crying that bad. So my brother whacked me 3 times to the head, bro. King hits too. And that's why my brother's he can scrap. He's like Andy Ruse, is it? Like him. So my brother threw 3 of those to my head and it woke me up, bro. Woke me up, and I was like, just lack of no oxygen to the brain. That's just made me who I am today. So I was like, I can't stop. So I was like, I'm actually on medication now. I'm on antidepressants. But I don't take them all the time now. I'm slowly warning myself off of them. Yeah, I'm just strengthening myself through doing exercises and getting back to rugby league, all the stuff that I love doing, you know, and getting myself around the environment, like Dave was one of them, part of me. Yeah, bro, it's a miracle. It's not easy to be by them, because they want to see changes. And I even put my hand up for rehab. I did 3 rotations. I did man up program as well a couple of times, and I was strong enough to move forward. I did the A&E, the AA and Salvation Army. I graduated it as well. And Tikanga as well, graduated as well. That was my rehab. I don't want to be around, I believe that I don't need to be around gang members to do the program. I can do this on my own, so different other places. And I did it, and man, look where I am today. And I know that today that Willie Roy Wongtong, the head of the Chiefs up there now, PC, the Godfather of the Chainsaw as well. I believe today those three names I said, you know, those names there, today, they'll be so proud of me today. Because I'm here today. I needed to stop that legacy of the way they, what I saw of them. Like when they passed on, like especially Wooly, everyone, you know, all the other gang clubs were always had a red flag, always were Wooly, because you know he showed no fear to any other club. He did what he did, what he does, and you know he lived up to his name. Well, he taught us that, and we did the same stuff. Like, I mean, I have to say that lifestyle, we lived that luxury lifestyle as well. We've seen a lot. We had heaps of money, really, everything, we name it, all the materials, we name it all. At the end of the day, it's nothing. It's nothing, my brother. It's like just, it's dead money. Everything that you touch, that you take and steal, take off people, as it's all wrong, you know. It's all wrong, and you did not work for it. You stole off that. You take it off that. You robbed off that. Yeah, I'm sick of that lifestyle, bro. I live there. I had enough. And it tells you, you know, it always catches up on you. What you do in life, it catches up. But now, today, you know, it's God's calling you. He has a plan for you, and I believe that plan. Right now, I wouldn't have this right now, what I'm sitting in right now. And got all my stuff in the shed, and just, you know, all given. So that's a purpose. A purpose in life, what, you know. I'm looking forward for 2024. I was enjoying to have the time with my family, you know. Not waking up I'm too used to waking up having Christmas behind the cell door as a gangster, you know. Yeah, a lot of people, everyone was against me. I was angry at me because I was hurting everyone out there. I'm not proud to be where I went to or what I have on me. I got it all marked on me. I've got all the bullet wounds. I want to encourage everyone, you know, or everyone's been in the same place where I've been, you know, in a dark place. Just want everyone to keep following me. And probably watch my change and then chase these fruits, man, of love. It's called miracles, and it's all God's fruits. Yeah, man. And that's what I'm doing today, so it's chasing these fruits. You know, and it's powerful, and just enjoying being in my home, my job. Those are all the good things that you do, and the good goals and opportunities will help in the long run, and then will help others as well to follow your same path. Yeah, I don't need to walk with a team behind me. You know, I got God's armor out there over everyone, all the gangs, you know. And then I can sit down and at the table and eat and they eat fruit and eat food with them. And just having their, you know, having their vibes of and just getting those doors opened up again for me.